Let's open up the discussion to all three of you, and we'll just sit back and chat a little bit. Tom, are you frustrated that we haven't really found a Bigfoot yet?
Well, of course. You know, as long as I've been in the industry, you know, since 67, and a lot of the many years that have passed on a full-time basis, you know, but it's just not, we just can't go to the yellow pages, George, and say to the operator, well, where's Bigfoot going to be tonight? We'd like to go see him. You know, it's a tough situation, and the problem that at hand right now is that there's a lot of people out there that believes in this so-called myth, and then there's the people that don't, and it makes it kind of tough. But like Lauren said, a lot of those doubters and hoaxes, they're gone. They're on the back, you know, the back burners now. And what's happened is the stuff that we just did in April 5th that just came out, and incidentally, it just substantiates the migrational route that we talked about on last time on your show. One of my assistants come up and says, Tom, in the Bigfoot Alive in 82 movie that we did when we filmed one of the creatures back in 1982, it was April 5th, beknownst to me.
Same time period.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it just substantiates the migrational period of this time of the year, okay, of the season. But to answer your question, I think that we're getting very close, George.
And what do you mean by that? Are we honing in on where they're living? Is that what you mean by close? Or
well, when I tell you that we're getting close, is because the my trackers that I got out in the brush now, especially the Hickman brothers, Lee and Jimmy, these guys, they were reared on this stuff, okay? And they're out there 24/7. They're out, you know, you talk about Manitoba, about Bobby Clark.
Yeah.
It's 30 degrees below zero where this guy is.
And they're out there looking for things.
Okay. Now, no. Contraire. This is Indian reservation property, okay?
Oh.
They've forbidden anybody to go out in that area.
Okay.
Okay. Nobody is allowed up there, or else we would have been there already. And I've got a relationship with Bobby Clark, okay? But because of the Cree Nation, the Norway House, they've closed it off for any investigation. Now, you got to understand, you know, with these are aboriginals up in that area. It's just like the Bushmen up in Alaska. These creatures are very close, or the aboriginals or the natives, the Indians, are very close to these myths and these legends. They worship them like gods. I don't know. Are you aware of that, Lauren?
Yeah, I'm part Cherokee. I'm very aware of it.
Well, then he knows. Okay.
He knows.
Yeah. And by the way, I wanted to cap on what Jimmy said. And he's probably one of the sharpest guys that's come down the pike in a long time, a forensic specialist here. Jimmy, when you were talking about the thermal ridges?
Yes.
You were talking about north and south ridges, right? Up and down?
Right. Yeah,
the ridges, east and west?
The ridges that run along the side of the foot, yes.
Correct. Because the reason why I say that is John Green is probably one of the most respected guys in this field. You know, he authored a bunch of books, too. Years ago, I talked to the man. I don't even know if he's still alive. If he is, God bless him.
Yes, he is.
Is he?
The last I heard, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A great man in the field, okay? But what you had said, Lauren, you brought it right to the front. Examining some of these casts from a long time ago, it's just like Grover Krantz. He took, remember the Bossberg footage?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you remember where he did the anatomy of the crippled one?
Yes.
The reconstructor of the bone structure?
Right.
Okay. Well, that went all over the world, and I do believe that it's in the Smithsonian at the present time. Did you know that?
Well, I know that after Grover died, he donated a lot of his material, and they... You know, different people have at different places, yes.
Right. Well, that's the problem, though, today, Lauren. A lot of the people who are out in the brush don't get credit for what's happened. And these guys that come along that's got PhDs and are scholars, they come along and they take the stuff. And years ago, I'm going to be so bold to say they stole a lot of stuff from people because we were some of those people. Okay, I can talk from first-hand information, and it bothers me, okay, that here are these armchair quarterback Bigfoot hunters, okay, or aficionados come out of the woodwork, and they're the experts all of a sudden. And I'm excluding you, Lauren, because, A, I don't know you, and the work that I've seen you done here in print, I'm very impressed. But me and my gang, my people that are out there 24/7, don't really get the credit that's expected. And I really don't care, because we know what we got, we know what we're doing, and our contributions are going to be set forth in the museum that we're putting together right now that we've collected over the last 40 years.
What's going to be in the museum, Tom?
Oh, we've got, first of all, we've got probably the only hand casts that have been made of one of these bipeds, of one of these primates.
Pretty big hand, I guess.
Okay.
Huh?
Well, we've got three of them, okay? And as a matter of fact, Grover Krantz did the anatomy of the structure of it in one of them. And we have his dossier on the whole thing. And Dr. Warren Cook, the anthropologist out of Castleton State University, who was authenticated our stuff, was never released because he died. And we just kind of stayed in the back trenches, and I didn't want to come back out in the front anymore due to the fact of I was tired of the commercialism, all these people going out making all this money off of everything else that everybody else found, and these so-called experts, okay? But I'm telling
I don't think anybody's really, I mean, maybe the Bobby Clarks of the world are getting licensing fees, but I really see that it's, you know, one of the problems in the field is the feuding, the East versus West, the academics versus the field people. A lot of the field people grow up and become academics and become experts and become writers. And I think that, you know, to go on and on about, I think you've done a lot of work. I think that a lot of people have done a lot of work. And there's various collections around the country. But it's because of the feuding, because of the, you know, what some people in a dismissive way call the weekend warriors versus the armchair scientist, that it's really, in many ways, slows down the progress to really combine a united front against our common enemy, which is all of the skeptics and all of the academics that are disking us all the time.
Is it that competitive, Warren?
Oh, it's definitely competitive. I think we're seeing a little of it in Tom, and I understand that point of view, and I really respect it. And I think that, you know, anybody that doesn't know me and doesn't know that I was in the field for 20 years before I started writing, you know, sometimes I get thrown into the academic, and, you know, on some shows I'm called Dr. Coleman, which I'm just a common, ordinary guy that has anthropology background and a master's and 45 years of doing the work, just like everybody else. But, you know, what I compare it to is the mountain gorilla was discovered in 60 years through well-funded research of a united front of people looking for it. And instead, a Bigfoot research, Bigfoot field work in this country is really a bunch of regional people that are very interested in their own part of the pie.
Their own agenda, sure.
Yeah, that's important. That's important, but it also gets in the way of you know, cooperation and sharing information.